On this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, we start in Avondale with Mary. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. We have an oleander tree in our backyard, and it's all droopy. I'm wondering how to trim it. I think with all the new blossoms and growth on it, it's just, do you trim it like a regular oleander bush, or how do you take care of it?
Good morning, Mary.
You're on.
Oh, good. I couldn't hear myself. Good morning, Mary, and thank you for calling in. It's the time of year for oleanders to blossom, and with the rains that we've had and the beautiful warm weather, they're just prolifically in bloom. You can prune them now, or you can wait till the bloom cycle ends and the plant will upright itself more than it is now. But just if you want to prune it and it's getting too big, prune it just as you would a shrub. Rather than a hedge clipper, but just prune individually those branches to lighten it up and loosen it up.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, that they hate oleanders because they're poisonous. And growing up at my parents' home, where there was an existing very mature hedge of oleanders, I played in them all the time. I mean, maybe that's what's wrong with me, but I certainly didn't see any direct effect of the poisoning. Is it a poisonous plant?
Well, many plants are listed as poisonous or have some toxicity. People think if you have oleanders around horses, your horses are going to die. If you ingest a lot of leaves, you could have some. Now, I'm not an expert and I'm not a doctor, but it could cause some irritation or some swelling. But I'm not sure who's going to be munching down on
after
on
the first bite. You know, that's
like
not
that.
Something you want a second bite
yeah.
of.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
Even the horse, you won't. I've never seen one take a bite of an oleander.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing, Mary, I often see oleander trees that are sprouting from the bottom or from the trunk. If you want that plant to keep its tree-like structure, be sure to keep those little feeder stems pruned off the bottom.
Great privacy plant if you're looking to
Absolutely.
Create something. And the great news, Mary, is you don't need to know a lot about pruning an oleander because that's a very forgiving plant. You can burn it, you can bomb it, you can torch it, you can rip the roots out, and it's going to be there next spring blossoming just like it did this year.
Right, and once established, it's a drought-tolerant and a low-water-use plant.
We appreciate the call. Let's go to Noah and Vail, south of Tucson. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, it's Nona, N-O-N-A, and can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. She can't
can you hear me?
She can't hear us. She wants to know about Mexican birds of paradise. She's had for 6 years and only one of them is growing.
Well, Nona, you're down in a little colder climate than we are here in Phoenix, which red bird of paradise do really well in the desert. But if you've planted you've had them planted for 6 years, they go dormant in the wintertime, completely dormant. And when we have a cold snap like we did in December, you may have some freeze damage on them. So I'd recommend, it's time of year now, take a good look at it. See if you've got some green growth at the bottom. Prune them back. Maybe hit them with a dose of fertilizer and see if you've got some viable life there.
We appreciate the call. Sorry we had a little poor connection. That is a pretty area, a higher elevation in the desert.
Yep.
You get some additional varieties of cactus that come into play. Mm-hmm. You get a lot more shrubs that, in addition to just your creosote that runs from quartzite to surprise to Casa Grande and south, it's just nothing but creosotes. So you get that little higher elevation kind of out of the more the flat land and just a beautiful. What would be maybe a better plant for her, though? That would be a little bit more, because that is a very tropic, very heat, heat-proof plant.
A little more of high desert-y, full sun plant. Gosh, there's a number of them. Texas sage is excellent. That'll bloom off and on during the summer season. Could be a good replacement.
Very good. Well, there you go. We appreciate the call. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. If you'd like to join the conversation, we were mentioning on the break, Cindy, another one of your favorites, which is when it's true Arizona native plant, that's my favorite tree as well.
It's an ironwood tree.
Beautiful plant.
Yeah. You see many native ironwood trees, and in some developments, the native tree has been left there. Early in the summer, they have a very light pink purplish bloom, and it's just a beautiful silhouette and just a beautiful blooming tree.
It looks like from ancient times.
Yeah.
It really just looks like an old world tree that it, you know, it's been there, and the stories it could tell are timeless.
Absolutely.
And Cheryl, you love Palo Verdes, I understand?
Love Palo Verdes, and they're all in bloom right now, which is why I'm sneezing, but they're beautiful. Love that, the yellow flowers.
That yellow is very strong presence.
Absolutely. I was telling you, my brother-in-law was here last week, and every day he swept the yellow flowers, and every morning more yellow flowers appeared.
Do you have a favorite place to go? There's a couple places that they've built a very good Palo Verde canopy, and you just walk through this explosion of yellow.
Aren't they beautiful when they grow together to make canopies? I think it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Kierland planted a lot, so if you drive around the Scottsdale and Greenway areas, you can see a lot of them there. If you want to walk through them, down at the Scottsdale Water Treatment Plant next to Saguaro High School, just south of there on Hayden and McDonald.
Oh.
They did a beautiful archway of Palo Verdes. I bet it's incredible to walk through.
Pick up this Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement Column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.